All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. Welcome in, and hopefully you take us along for the ride for the next 3 hours or so, wherever you are on the go. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the Gal Media Studios. Start off right off the top, giving you the information you need, which is the Way Back Wednesday topic, which is artists, starting with the letter P, as in
P,
P as in what we've been talking about as throughout the week in terms of a challenge that we so graciously offered up or threw out there, or not even really offered up. Someone volunteered based on a discussion that we had. We thought we had turned it into a stellar stunt.
I'm dead inside, boys.
And we are planning a funeral for Barry's insides right
now.
What's
wrong, Barry?
Word came down today that the stunt is off. We are not allowed to let listener Justin drink his pee on air. It was officially nixed. This is the other part that troubles me about this. So we were good. Even all the way to the top, we were good. And then some other information came in from doctors, and I think it caused our fearless leader to get a little cold feet, and he was like, yeah, I'm going to recommend we don't do it. But he was in. He was totally in as far as just allowing it. So, and I understand the business side of it. I mean, if Justin died, that would be bad. I mean, think of our ratings, though. Boy, we would be popular. But, yeah, I get it. I totally get it. I'm dead inside, but I get it.
However, I'm not terribly upset. I don't have to penis watch anymore.
Oh, you were kind of excited.
I was not excited.
I mean, what do you mean? Because you kind of...
I was actually going to talk to you guys about backing out and not doing it.
About what? Not doing the whole thing? Or just not having
not
to watch him?
Not me being the guy, yeah.
Backing out of the stall after you saw it? Or
just not looking at somebody else's piece is what I'm saying.
Oh.
Just that part.
Okay.
Not the whole thing.
Well,
I mean... All you got to do is stare dead in the eye once and it's over.
What's the difference between doing it here on a Tuesday and a typical Friday night for you? What's the difference?
Wow. It just escalates.
3 minutes,
quickly.
15 seconds into the show.
We go from like here to like the ceiling in about a second.
The ceiling is the roof. Here's the thing. So I am kind of dead inside, but because we're not going to be able to do this. After we got the go ahead and I was so excited, I even went out and created the GoFundMe this morning and seeded my own money in it. I threw in some money. I was like, let's do this.
How much did you donate?
25 to get it started.
So you lost 25 bucks?
Well, I figured if each of us did 25, that'd be 75 towards the 300. And then as it got closer, if we were having a struggle getting to 300, we'd just throw in some more and get there, right? No big deal. And then word comes down that we're not doing it. And now I got to figure out how the hell to get my money back without getting charged fees because, you know, if you donate and all that, there's a fee for using GoFundMe. So now I'm in that loop of trying to get my money back after donating it.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. So I'm a bit dead inside, but there is a spark of hope, and I'll tell you why. We were talking, AJ came out, and as you guys listening know, AJ is also program director for ESPN 97.5, and so he has to approve stuff like that before we move forward. And he said he was sorry, and he knows I'm disappointed, and I was. And I said, we started talking about how much it would how much would AJ want to drink his own urine? And he said $5,000. And he said he would do it on our show live for $5,000. And so that little spark, I thought, I think one, he severely underestimates our ability to raise money.
Indeed.
And two, I think he severely underestimates how many people out there hate him and would love to contribute money to see him drink his own pee.
I said White Magic's going to contribute probably $2,500.
Well, yeah, easily. That one guy that called and said all they do is talk about fashion, I bet he's in for a cool $250. Easily.
Not only did he say he'd do it, he He said he'd do it on our program.
Yeah,
on our show.
I said, look, you can't do it on the Blitz. It's got to be done on the Usual Suspects. You drink your own pee. Now, Joel screwed it up and was like, yeah, and then you're a chaser. And I was like, why would you throw that out as an option?
He already was going to go there.
Yeah, I don't know. But I said, no, you got to wait 30 seconds.
But he's not dumb. I mean, you know you want to get that taste out of your mouth the minute you finish the last ounce.
So he had a good point because he was like, what's the difference if I have a chaser or not? I still drink pee. And I'm like, yeah, but you didn't suffer. Like, I want you to have to sit there for 30 seconds. But you know what? If he'll do it, he'll do it. So now we just have to contemplate, can we get enough commitments to get close to $5,000? And I've asked David Gow, can we do it? He's on the fence. So this still might be alive.
Well, if
it's
we
not
had,
dead yet,
if
is
Nick
what I'm
had
saying.
Been rolling right as he was walking out of the studio before we went on the air,
yes.
I had him to say yes.
Him.
And I went, oh, okay, so we're good. He went, oh, no. I didn't say it. I said, well, actually, you said yes. But
Joel
okay.
tricked him into saying yes. And he goes, no, I mean, no. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. So, I don't know. I'm thinking there's like a 5% chance that this happens.
So the CPR could revive your insides, but for now, you're dead on the inside.
A little bit. Okay. I'm a bit disappointed. So,
well, these things happen.
But that's the reason why, all of that is to say, that's the reason why our theme for today's Way Back Wednesday is bands that start with the letter P. And while we're on that subject.
Yeah, let's get to that.
Let's go ahead and get this out of the way now. The list comes out yesterday, and I didn't want to say anything yesterday until I got my list in.
So, see, that's the way you do it.
So I waited, and then, oh, please, mister,
you
email
love,
your list at
no, you
2
love
o'clock.
To sit on a howitzer, and then all of a sudden go, take
you,
that right
you,
at airtime.
Yeah, and you don't think emailing your list during yesterday's show wasn't sitting on a howitzer?
You don't think I did it purposely because you got me twice in 2 weeks?
So Joel sends his list, and on the list of artists that start with the letter P. Now, mind you, we've already established Master P is off the board because it's P, but it's Master P, so it starts with an M. On Joel's list is Fat Pat. Mm-hmm. You that's an F. He goes, no, his name is Pat. No.
It's an adjective describing Pat.
No, his artist name is Fat Pat.
That's how he's going to justify it? Yeah. It's an adjective that's describing
Pat. No, I didn't. Let me just tell you something, Judge. That's you could have chimed in yesterday so we could have had the actual ball.
But you then
were,
you followed
you
it up with an email.
Radio silent and email silent. So then I'm sitting here going back and forth with Barry, and I go, well, I'm filing a formal protest. So I'm letting you know that my protest will be submitted. And in the meantime.
Who are you protesting to?
Whoever will listen.
Me.
In the meantime, you and
I'm the rules
with
committee.
You.
Yeah. I'm the rules committee.
Well,
way back
you're
Wednesday.
The judge and jury in a lot of things. So well, I just said, all right, I'm filing a formal protest, and under the utmost of anger, I am going to give you a replacement song for the time being.
And you really didn't need to because you could have just went first with 7 songs.
Okay.
We need to change that. All of us need to supply 8 songs.
8 songs no matter what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you got to get judged on 8 songs. There's only one
that's
hour
true.
That's
true.
Going
you
to-
still submit 8. So you submitted Parliament, Funkadelic, right?
Flashlight.
Oh, Flashlight. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, that's fine. But Fat Pat, I don't think you know how letters work.
No, I don't think you know how freaking Cactus Records and all these places work. If you go to find Fat Pat, it's going to be under the P's. Like, if you go to find Michael Jackson, it's not under the M's.
Yeah,
it's under the J's.
I hate to tell you this, but Fat isn't his first name either.
Right, that's why. It's because P is the artist's name.
No.
P is Pat. We don't call, hey, Fat, what's up? No, you say, what's up, Pat?
You also, no, his artist name is Fat Pat. That's his artist name. That's but when I was looking for this, I found an artist named Pudgy the Fat Buddy? Bastard, I think was his name. I was like, who is Pudgy? What was it called? Yeah, Pudgy the Fat Bastard was this rapper's name. Also, pretty good rapper.
I was going to say, did you listen?
Yes. It wasn't bad.
At any one point, did he say, get in my belly?
No, but I was like, why would you choose that as your name to rap with? But it wasn't bad. I listened to it. Had an old school New York East Coast 90s kind of vibe to it.
Kind of like?
Not bad.
B.I.G.?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, or maybe he was just a slimmed down version.
Chub Rock?
Yeah, but a little more in your face, right?
Yeah.
A little more flamboyant, I guess.
All right.
So, who's going first, Nicholas? Who's first on the list?
He has no clue cuz he's not listening.
Oh, my bad. I thought so yeah, we're going to what's going on here?
Who's going first?
You are.
Okay. I got out number 1.
Oh, you're going first.
Yeah.
Joel. Okay. Cuz he got his in first, is that why?
Or whoever has Papa Roach last resort.
No, then I'm not going first. That'd be Barry.
Did you? How do you not know whose list is whose?
I just went with Papa Roach first. That whoever started with Papa Roach.
Because that's on your everyday list.
No, because it was the first song listed.
It was easier.
Yeah, it's a wise decision, young man, because he's not going to stop now. He's coming at you.
You're lucky I'm distracted right now because I got things to do, sir. I'm working back here.
Well, you know, you had 3 hours to do that before the show started.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how that works. Is Lance joining us today? I see him on the list.
I was just going to ask you guys, is he even in the building?
I don't know.
I have not seen him today. I know he's back from the combine.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I saw him yesterday in the hallway.
Because I know Cody came back from the combine and didn't. What was that?
Mine was my ring. Hit the mic.
You sure it wasn't your tooth?
No, it was my tooth. You would have heard me freak out.
Yeah, easy, Jay Glazer.
If my tooth would have hit this microphone. Why?
Did you see that?
No.
Jay Glazer, who's not only the NFL expert on MMA Fox, guy. I believe it is. Yeah, he's an MMA guy, and he's got his own training facility.
Uh-huh.
Demi Lovato has been training with Jay Glazer. They were sparring yesterday. She knocked his tooth out.
Yeah.
And he had a mouthpiece in.
Nice.
She looks like she's packing a punch, if you know what I mean, too. She might be
really.
She might be ready for 2-a-days.
Really? She's a little thick?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yes. Maybe that's why she's doing the workout.
Yeah,
thing.
Maybe. But she knocked his tooth out. He was a good sport about it, but she knocked his tooth out with a mouthpiece.
The cameras are right there. He kind of had to be. I bet you if there was no cameras, he'd be like, damn it. He'd be all pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, you know, TV guys are sensitive about their teeth.
They are.
Yeah.
And they should be.
No absolutely. One wants to more be on. Of them should be.
We talked about that,
yes,
right?
Yes, we have.
Especially baseball sports writers. Are you guys aware of this Momo thing that's going on? Have you seen this, Nicholas?
I have not.
Well, Joel, are you aware of Momo?
No, I don't think so.
This is weird. So this artist in Japan created this sculpture called Momo. And it's a real sculpture, and it's dubbed Mother Bird. It was created by a Japanese artist. There's no way I was going to get his name right. There's just no way I was going to be able to say it. No.
Come on.
Okay. Kiyosuke Aisawa. So there's some significance to this Momo, and I'll tell you about it on the other side. It's gonna remind you, or it might remind you of some things that we had in our childhood that freaked us out.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll talk about Momo. I'll tell you what that is and what's the deal with Momo on the other side.
There you go. Got that to look forward to and a whole hell of a show. Then we're just getting started. So therefore, the HR&P listener line, it has been opened up for you, the listeners, the suspects. 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can always reach us via Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny. It's a Way Back Wednesday. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Would it be wrong? Would it be right? Tonight, chances are that I might. New relation out of sight. And I'm contemplating.
Call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back! Just getting started. Usual Suspects on a Way Back Wednesday. Barry, hour number one. Songs by artists starting with P pre-2009.
All right, so I teased it before the break. Do you remember when, like, oh, well, you weren't around when you were a kid here. You were back in Wisconsin.
Sure.
So you weren't here in the Houston area. But back in the day when I was in elementary school, there was this rumor going around that there was this gang called the Smurfs that were going around killing people at elementary schools. That was like a thing.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys had any rumors like that, but that was a big thing that scared the crap out of kids. You guys probably had something similar to that too, right, Nick?
I did. I don't remember the name of the gang. I don't remember it being called the Smurfs.
Yeah, that's what they called it, which is the but stupidest
was,
name for
there
a gang.
Was like we this gang Kurds. That was messing, like rumor that there was this gang messing with like elementary school
stuff, and they would kill you. They would drive by and shoot you or whatever. I don't even remember the whole thing. Yeah. Anyways, this Momo thing is pretty interesting because Momo was originally an art sculpture, and it was supposed to be a bird, and it was titled Mama Bird, and it's creepy looking. It looks weird. It looks like a mixture between a saw mask and a bird and I don't know.
Best actor?
No, not Rami Malek or
it
whatever.
It looks like him a little bit. The eyes have it. Let me just say that.
Okay, you have a point. You have a very good point. But anyways, so there was this rumor going around on the internet that Momo was telling children to kill themselves. And that there were videos on YouTube.
Oh, this is what Lisa talked to me
where
about.
Where it was embedded in yes. children's videos where you'd be like, I love you, kill yourself. You love me, kill yourself. Like it was subliminally yeah. telling children to kill themselves. And it was all started on like, well, I guess one 12-year-old girl had killed herself. And then some lady named Wanda Maximoff tweeted out, warning, please read, this is real. There is a thing called Momo that's instructing kids to kill themselves. Inform everyone you can. That got read by like 22,000 people. It took off. Then the news got a hold of it, and they started talking about it like it was yep. real. And then everyone came out and realized, oh, this is just a hoax. This like YouTube was like, no, there's nothing embedded in any of the YouTube videos that has this. It was just kind of wild that how stuff gets started.
Yeah, because the news got it. Lisa came home with it and said, we need to monitor everything Taylor watches on her iPad for a while because supposedly it's in the middle of the video, not at the start or the end, and it starts with trying to get the kids to progressively harm themselves
yeah.
until they kill themselves. And I was like, "Are you? This is serious."
Yeah, it was wow. But apparently it's all a hoax. And then the artist even said, you know what, to take it a step further, I've destroyed Momo. So he took his artwork and destroyed it because, I mean, it's ugly. Don't get me wrong. It's not like he just destroyed a masterpiece. It's yeah. stupid looking, but whatever. But yeah, somebody came out and said a lot of this relies on people believing their local school or police force knows what they're talking about when it comes to the internet. Unfortunately, most don't have a clue and are sending letters to parents warning of non-existent issues like YouTube videos being hacked. So it was pretty interesting that took off. It's like the, you know, when we were kids, it was all just word of mouth and, oh, my God, the Smurfs are coming. Watch out. They're going to shoot you. And now it's all on the internet and it's Momo. If someone's going to kill you, you'd think they would come up with better names than the Smurfs and Momo. Yeah. None of that sounds threatening at all.
No.
The other thing I wanted to see if you guys saw or not before we get to Rockets. I was watching the news like 2 days ago. It wasn't last night. It was the night before.
I actually thought I saw him last night.
It probably was, but I know 2 nights ago was when I originally made that. Because I wanted to talk about this yesterday, but we didn't get to it because I forgot to put it on the list. But I'm watching the news, and guess who I see? Wayne Dolciafino. And I was like, oh, turn it up. Is Wayne back on the air? Well, it turns out Wayne is not back in the news business. Wayne is a, quote, consultant.
Yeah.
He owns Dolciafino Consulting. And there was apparently something going on with some parents in the school and all these things. And he's speaking on behalf of the parents to try and get whatever they're seeking to happen. And I don't even remember the story because I just remember being fixated with the fact that Wayne Dolciafino is now kind of like the Italian Quenelle X. Like he's out there speaking on behalf of families because that's what Quenelle X is. He's a consultant. He's a public relations person. He's a consultant. It's kind of the stuff he does. And Dolciafino's doing the same thing. And how many times did you see those guys butt heads? Or how many times?
It's a segment on Fox 26 News. They do Quenelle.
It's called the X Factor,
versus,
right? Or
yeah,
the, no,
yeah.
the X at Crossfire or something
Crossfire,
like that.
Something like that. Yeah. But Wayne Dolciafino goes up against Quenelle.
Is it Wayne now that does it? Because it
he
used to be another guy.
It.
Okay, because there was also another guy that did it.
Now, he might have scaled back, but Wayne had been doing it for
away.
Quite a while.
The other guy
passed away. Right.
What, really?
The guy who the radio guy.
Matt.
Died of cancer. He would always do those debates with Quenelle X, and he passed away from cancer.
Really? I didn't know that. What was
his
name?
No, we talked about it on the show. We just forgot his name.
We did, yeah. He was a longtime radio guy, and he kind of like
I remember he put a Facebook video saying that the treatments stopped, like his body stopped responding to treatments. And
was it Matt Patrick?
That's it.
That's who it is.
I said it. I knew it was Matt.
Okay, and he passed away?
And he was the guy that was always going into those heated
with Quenelle.
Okay.
Heated debates
so
with Quenelle.
So then Wayne took over?
I don't know.
Wayne was doing it for a while. Then they rotated some guys with Quenelle. Quenelle's the consistent, the mainstay.
Right.
And Wayne was doing it for quite a while.
Interesting. So he probably, after the show, they would probably, Wayne would be like, hey, can I see your business plan?
Yeah.
And then he just did what he did. But I just found that to be weird that Wayne Dolciafino was out there as a public relations consultant, I'm guessing.
He just couldn't find a bow tie to fit around his neck. But other than that, I mean,
I just, it was so weird to see him there and he's speaking for people. And I was just like, oh, this doesn't seem very.
He started a PR firm after it didn't work out. I don't know why it didn't work out with Channel 13. Although, you know why I do? I think I do remember this. He got himself in trouble after all the people that he was digging up dirt on for all those years. I think he dabbled in some
not so clean substances. Things. Well, I know he was in an accident, wasn't he?
I don't know about that, but I know that kind of, I think that was the start of the end of the TV version, and then he went and started his own kind of PR firm.
So I'm on his website right now,
okay.
Dolcefino.com, and it says Dolcefino Consulting. He knows how to dig and what to dig for. Wouldn't you want him on your side? And they're hammering him. No, that's not the, it's got that same feeling, though. And it just talks about his services. When you hire Wayne Dolcefino and Dolcefino Consulting, you get instant media attention. See the 8 ways Wayne and Dolcefino Consulting can help you, can help investigations, crisis management, media training, litigation support, media relations, opposition research. That's a dirty pool right there. Political consulting and video production. This just seems kind of weird. It's weird that we live in a society that needs people like this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're right. And you know, I was just kind of, while you were...
You were looking at his website also?
And, no, and it says, Wayne Dolcefino, who worked for many years as an investigative reporter on Channel 13, has filed a lawsuit over an April car crash that left him seriously injured.
Yes, that's what I remember.
But then they said he unexpectedly leaves Channel 13 in a surprise move. And evidently it was by his choice... but it says, it just said Dave Ward said it was a sad day. And if Dave Ward said it's a sad day, then it was a sad day.
Right.
But, I'm just trying to see if there's any official word of why he left. Hmm. But I know several people that were not fans of his because of the digging that he did. Certain words.
Care to name names?
Man. The same thing that I said about the fake David Barron thing. When you, if you come out with Wayne Dolcefino kind of gumption when you try and publicize how somebody did something wrong,
right?
Come out with that same kind of vigor when they get cleared.
And he didn't.
And he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is also typical. I just found that. I was like, wow, old Wayne's over here just getting by, I guess. I don't know. Earning his living.
Yeah. So
I just found that to be interesting.
No doubt about it. Yeah, he's still... But you know what? A lot of TV people have done that. Lisa Ferranda left Channel 11 anchor, and she works for like an oil and gas company raising funds, I believe. Jerome Gray, who was an anchor on 2 different stations here,
yeah,
is like the spokesperson for Metro Rail.
Yeah, there was another one that went to be the spokesperson for
Jeff
the
McShann
city of
went to Crime Stoppers.
Somebody else was for the city of Houston. I don't remember who. Or HPD.
Several. Yeah. Sherry Williams left Lisa Station recently to go somewhere in the city to do something. Yeah, Mary Benton maybe be the other one that you might be thinking of. But
Could
a
be.
Lot of the TV people go into being spokespeople for different organizations.
I'm
going to
do that one day
town.
For radio. I'm going to be somebody's spokesperson.
Hey,
okay,
man.
That's
they
probably
They want to
pay
Lisa
true.
Enough. I'll talk her into it.
Right.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Look, we're just getting started on the show on a Way Back Wednesday. Lots to get to. Obviously, the Rockets with a big win last night. We'll get to that. If you didn't stay up late enough, there was also a bit of a surprise in the NBA after that. And lots of other things to talk about. So we're here. Glad you are, too. And hang tight. We'll be back in just a few. So, if you want to reach the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line, or hit us up on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Way Back Wednesday. Barry, hour number one. Songs by artists starting with the letter P.
That was Paris. The Devil Made Me Do It. That's okay. A good song. That's an old school. That's back when I was in. I think that came out, I want to say 92, 93, something like that. I was still in high school working at Journeys when that song came out. That's how old that song is. That's how old I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know Journeys. I've seen them.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever shopped there.
Lotto said, explain the franchise tag, please. Best radio show ever. So we explained it earlier this week, but just to give you the 1 minute elevator pitch of the franchise tag, it means that if you give the exclusive tag, they can't go anywhere else. They get a average of the top five salaries at that position. The non-exclusive means that they could go somewhere else so you don't lock them up. And then there's also a transition tag. But when you franchise a player, they're yours for 1 year. As long as you pay them the average of the top five salaries at the position. And that is set by the league.
Right.
So I hope that clears it up in 1 minute.
Yes. And the Buffalo Bills have already been working to schedule a meeting with Kevin Johnson. Can you believe that?
Wow.
That quickly, teams are interested in Kevin Johnson. Good luck to you.
Bottom of the barrel for the Bills, huh?
I guess so,
Not enough free agent cornerbacks, or maybe they're just looking to get some value. The problem is they got to be good to provide value. And one interception in 35 games in the NFL is not good.
And all the injuries and a history of concussions, which just don't go away, by the way.
Yep.
You get them quicker after you continue to get them, ask Troy Aikman and others. And then the Buffalo Bills, again, are going to ruin your guy. Because your boy DJ Metcalf is on their list on Todd McShay's latest draft board. Where do receivers go to die? Buffalo. Pretty much.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I don't know how that's going to work out, but we'll see how that goes.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the Rockets last night.
Yeah, baby.
First things first.
Hottest team in the NBA.
Did you watch it on Players Only, or did you watch AT&T?
So I watched it on Players Only. No. I watched it on AT&T with the sound down. But I also watched the Players Only broadcast of the Warriors game with the sound down.
I watch the Players Only because I want the national perspective. I want to see if they're saying something that the Kool-Aid drinkers, my boys, Matt and Craig, sometimes have to be a little bit pro-Rockets. I just wanted to get the honest perception of the national guys. But Greg Anthony has, as bad as Players Only can be, Greg Anthony has kind of mastered the play-by-play. Dennis Scott doing play-by-play on Rockets, and I understand because I used to work and teach broadcasters. Look, when you're the play-by-play guy on TV, people can see it. You don't have to call everything that's going on.
Right.
But for Dennis Scott to be like, and there's Harden gets a rebound there. Eric Gordon just shot that three in the corner. I'm like, did you miss like 15 seconds in between? And then Grant Hill, who normally when he's doing like CBS during the March Madness, during those games, he's very good at interjecting from a player's perspective.
As a color analyst.
Yeah, as a color analyst. But with three people on that booth.
That was bad.
Isaiah Thomas was doing all the talking. I was like, Grant, you going to chime in? And finally, Dennis Scott was like, hey, Grant, what do you think about all that? I was like, God, finally, get him involved because at least he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a train wreck. It's bad.
Who are you telling? We had this talk when they were on TNT last time. And I was like, bro, I can't do it. Mikhail is literally the only guy that does a good job on Players Only. Everyone else has a role to fill and a role to play in a broadcast, but it is not what they do on Players Only. It's just not.
And I truly believe that Mikhail went to TNT and he said, just so that no one's uncomfortable, he won't do Rockets games. So instead, he did the Golden State Celtics game. Yeah, because after that James lashed out at him and then went back and forth, and we had him on here to respond, that was it. And I think that's a smart move.
Yeah, for sure. And you've got to have, you would worry, because he's human, he might be a little biased.
Yeah. Yep.
Against James and the Rockets. So
to prove his point or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So, well, good.
So with the game itself, again, people giving the Rockets a lot of credit on defense. There's a couple things because we can see the obvious. You know, Harden had the big fourth quarter. They were able to put away a pretty good team in Toronto. Two things I'll take away other than the normal, which is one, they're really good at building big leads and really, really good at giving them back.
Who?
The Rockets.
Okay, but that's NBA basketball. That's every team in the NBA. Bro, how many times do people tell you to stick around and for the last 3 minutes of the game
Said it's the NBA. The other team's always going to make a run.
Yeah.
But when you're up 20-some, it seems like it goes away far too quickly. It's becoming the norm with the Rockets. In a lot of cases, teams are able to put them away. But that concerns me a little bit that they had the monster lead in the Celtics game, and that got to single digits late and got tight. Last night, again, Toronto was able to take the lead. And
they also
erased
knocking down shots in the third quarter. I mean, they had like 14 points in the third quarter.
They got to a really slow start.
That's
going to
happen. Yeah, they gave – I mean, at one point, they were talking about just nothing was falling and the turnovers. And I don't worry about that because I look at – in the NBA, every team makes a run. And no lead is safe with a three-point shot the way it is right now in the NBA. There's just like, and Bull says this a lot on the broadcast, but you could be up by 20. That's nothing. That's up by 20 now is the up by 12 back in the day when the three-point shot wasn't as prevalent. It really is. I mean, if you think about it, if you're trading threes for twos and you get a couple of misses on the other end defensively, and you could be back within 8 points like that.
And Toronto and the Celtics, though, the thing that bothered me more about it was they didn't use the three-point shot because neither one of them could hit shots from three for most of the game against the Rockets. So with that being said, the only other thing that concerned me, because I really like the fact they're getting more guys involved, the box score's filling up with more guys getting points, you saw a glimpse, and I think this is a good thing, you saw a glimpse of what teams in the playoffs are going to do to Harden last night. You saw them, as soon as he crosses half court, double team. Mm-hmm. You saw him try to get the ball out of his hands as much as they could, and they did it in doses. You saw them put Danny Green on him to pick up three-quarters court to try and force it out of his hands. So from a Rockets perspective, I'm glad they saw that because, one, they did a hell of a job, and adjusting. He did a hell of a job of getting it to an open man, move the ball to get the double team to have to go away. And two, this is what they're going to see in the playoffs. So the fact that they got to see it from a good team last night allows them to prep more for it and expect it more.
Yeah, and I think the thing that my takeaway from it was it's amazing what this team looks like when it gets contributions from its role players. When the Gerald Greens are there. And we talked about yesterday, Nick made the point about Eric Gordon and having to step up and have a big game. Mm-hmm. And he did. I mean, 13 points is certainly a good contribution. But every night it seems like, P.J. Tucker has now found his stroke again. Gerald Green has been shooting it pretty well. Eric Gordon has found it again. And I think that's what you see that's why the Rockets are dangerous now, is because it's not just Harden and a bunch of guys. Everybody is contributing and everybody is having a say in this team and the results on the court. They're playing like a team. They're playing from 1 through 8. They're playing well.
I would say that's healthy, my big takeaway. It was Harden and CP3 with a bunch of guys. Just because you got to give Chris a lot of credit for the fact that they've taken it to another level with
him
back.
But that 30 points per game streak was a lot just Harden.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was Harden. And
I completely agree.
That's what I'm saying is now that the role players are playing well and it's hard to deny that it looks like a deep team. Like from when we talked about at the beginning of the season, we talked about, I don't even recognize this team. It looks like garbage. I don't know what brand of basketball this is, but Michael Carter Williams and all these names, Ennis and
James
Ennis. You're just like, what is this garbage that they're rolling out there? And now you look at it and you've got Austin Rivers and Gerald Green. And when he comes back healthy, Kenneth Faried and even if Shumpert can contribute, this is a completely different team. Their depth is legit now.
But what you say,
they're legitimately deep.
Yes, and what you say right there is just the perfect illustration of how deep they are. They don't even worry if Shumpert doesn't come back, as opposed to when they made the trade, they thought, we really need another three and a wing guy. Now they might not even need him because if they're healthy, again, a lot of it is luck. I don't want to give Daryl too much credit. And look, I'll give credit where credit is due, but a lot of it was the buyout market and the right guys were available. They snatched him up, and they have taken a bench that was garbage at the start of the year, and I believe you were the first to say, look, that bench is awful.
Yeah.
And now that bench is better than respectable. That bench could probably beat a lot of teams in the NBA.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what you guys think now with the Rockets at full strength. I mean, the pundits this morning, especially after the Golden State collapse last night, and keep warning you guys about the Warriors, man.
Let's talk about that. And let's
keep warning y'all about them.
Let's talk about my belief that James Harden has surpassed another superstar and a lot of superstars in another way than just what he has done and does on the court based on what I've seen recently. So we'll talk about all that coming around the corner. If you guys want to join the show, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hot! again, if you could hear what goes on in the commercial break. Back on The Usual Suspects, hour number one, three-hour show. We were kicking around some rocket stuff after the big win last night against the Raptors.
How many people do you think, oh, you turned off my music? How many people do you think are out there listening right now going, is that the Arby's commercial?
We have the meats.
Yeah, that's the beat from the Arby's commercial. If I don't know if you knew that or not.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Do you think Arby's is compensating?
Oh, yeah. They're paying royalties for that. Absolutely.
They should, because it is a recognizable beat.
But I'll never forget the first time I heard it. I was like, what in the hell? Got Pharaoh Monk on an Arby's commercial? That's what I'm talking about.
They shouldn't be paying royalties to the guy that's in those commercials as the sandwich artist or whatever like that.
Oh, yeah, that's stupid.
He's creepy.
Yeah, that's not a good
beat. He throws the darts at the sandwich
board. That beat, though.
Snake eyes.
That beat is a good beat.
Well, that was good, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was talking about it before the break. Here's where I think James Harden should get the most credit.
Okay.
We've heard all the stuff about Kyrie Irving all week. We already know before that the earth is flat. But then he starts talking about, you and I talked about this the other day, how he wants to just play basketball. He doesn't like the other side of it. And he hates the fact that he's bothered and pestered and the cameras and the microphones and the questions and everything like that. And then we talked about, but you have a movie. And you got that movie because of a endorsement deal.
Yeah.
And you got all those things too. The other thing is, from a purely basketball perspective, this was a guy that didn't play in the playoffs last year, and yet the team made to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. So they played really well, and young guys stepped up. But yet, when he came back, he expected all of them to just go back to their roles previous to him being out and them making the long run. And that's just not the way you play winning basketball. And I say all that to say, James Harden was a guy that had problems with Dwight Howard. He was the guy that every time the media came to him, he would say, well, it's not me playing bad. I told you guys the one story about how when he was really playing awful in the playoffs, and he went to the Rockets coaching staff and management and said, you need to get me some help. Well, mm-hmm. One, you can't go get him at this point in the season. And two, you got enough talent. It's just how you use them to maximize them so you play the best basketball. He has evolved so much, and his maturity is so visible to me, having been as close as I was to him and previously, to say, one, not only did he shoulder the load and answer all the questions and deal with all the naysayers while he was putting together just a phenomenal streak of 32 games, and say, this is what we needed. It's not what I wanted to do. It's what we needed to do and had to do in order to stay afloat in the West. But now they're the third seed in the West, and with the team healthy again, mm-hmm. He didn't do what Kyrie did. He went and got his players back involved. He got Eric Gordon back in the system. He got CP3 to feel comfortable right away. And that's why this team is at a different level. Kyrie, during a stretch, when he didn't play, they were 6-0. When he did play, they were 0-6.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen with James Harden anymore.
No, and I mean, it's a good point about the maturity, and it's good to see from James. And you know, he did have to go through that, though. And so maybe that's where you got to cut Kyrie a little slack. He's always been Robin, and now he's Batman, and he's got to learn how to be Batman. He's got to learn how to be a leader. Some people are just naturally leaders, and some people have to learn. And, I mean, I'll see that, and I'll raise you this. Some leaders, it becomes so difficult that they start to crack a little. And in the case of LeBron, I mean, he didn't realize what he was signing up for, and now he's starting to not be able to fill his role appropriately. So I think it's all get KD was a leader. He was the guy. And then he's freaking out a little bit. So give Kyrie, I mean, cut him a little slack. I don't cut him a lot because he's making a lot of money. And like you said, he's reaping all the benefits of being a leader on a basketball team and a good one. So you take the good with the bad. You take them both, and there you have.
Thanks to Facts Life. Yeah. Here's what I was going to say. Here's another one. Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
Scottie Pippen always wanted to climb out from Jordan's shadow until Jordan went and played baseball for a couple years, and he realized just how taxing that could be. No one was more excited to have MJ back than Scottie Pippen, mm-hmm. and he never wanted to take that on again.
Okay, I'm going to switch gears for you just a minute. We can get to the Lakers. I mean, the
Celtics
and Warriors and all that, because that was a debacle of a game for the Warriors. But it made me think of something this morning, because I'm watching the pundits and the talking heads talking about LeBron and how it's bad right now.
Because they haven't talked about him all week.
Yeah, oh my goodness. But how it's bad in L.A. and how the team is just awful and LeBron is melting down and people are questioning his ability to lead. And is this the beginning of the end for him? Is this LeBron's Washington Wizards? Once MJ came back, once he went to the Wizards, he had a decent year, the 1 year. But after that, MJ was never the same. Is this LeBron's? Is this the beginning of the end for him? Is this his wizard swan song, and then he's done?
I don't think so. I think that this was something. The only reason why this is acceptable to LeBron, because you look at his numbers, and again the other night he had 27, 7, and 6. He's still putting up numbers that if it was Michael's swan song year, Michael had an occasional game like that, an explosion, but for the most part it was like 12, 14 a game.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron's still performing at such a high level. I wouldn't say that. I would say the only reason why you don't see a different side of LeBron is he signed up for this. He knew this first year with LA, and they kind of, if you go back and listen to the quotes, he kind of set the table for the fact that this first year wasn't going to be pretty. It wasn't going to be championship caliber, but he fully... Now, the real interesting thing to answer your question better will be how they perform next year, because starting next year is when they expect max players to be rolling in and the roster to be retooled and maybe even a coach that goes away. Then we'll see for sure. But I don't think it's to the level of where Michael was already way on the downside when he was with the Wizards.
Okay. But I think part of it is that, and someone had texted us the other day, but I had brought it up, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And I mentioned to you guys, have we been giving LeBron too much credit for being, look how he carried Cleveland, and then he took them all the way to championship with no help, and he did that on his own. Well, he doesn't have help now, and it's not the same. So either we gave him too much credit for being able to carry a team on his back by himself, because everyone said, oh, I mean, and you guys, I mean, I'm not trying to be a dick, but you guys, as soon as L.A. got LeBron, y'all were like, playoffs. That he's taking them to the playoffs.
Okay, I said they were going to make the playoffs, and I firmly believe if he doesn't get hurt, they would have made
playoffs.
But
I'm not pointing
you. Put him up in the Western Conference Finals.
I said it. No, but you guys both said playoffs, and a lot of talking heads said playoffs, and that's fine because LeBron had that respect. But I'm just saying, has everybody been fooled in giving him too much respect, or did we not give enough credit to the team that was around him in Cleveland? Because right now he's proving that he needs help. That's a fact. LeBron James, he might still be in his prime. You said he's still putting up numbers. Okay, but he can't do it by himself.
It was proven. I think that was proven in the Golden State Finals. I mean, Warriors fans and Cavs fans, or Cavs fans will probably be angry with me, but I'm telling you, if Draymond Green didn't get suspended, I'm not sure the Cavs win that championship. And so I think it's been proven a long time ago that he can't do it by himself, man. Like, it's obvious that he can't do it by himself. But if he was healthy, I would argue that they would probably be in the playoffs. If he was healthy and did not miss those games, that's how much weight, that's how much of an impact he has on the game. His presence alone, without even scoring, has that type of impact on the game. So I think it's already been proven that he can't do it alone. But I also believe if he was healthy, it'd be a different Lakers record. Completely different Lakers
record. It's hard to define alone, too, because look, you can't tell me, and I said this from the time that they started bringing in players. When you start bringing in players to put around LeBron, the last names you think about, especially from a stabilizing force in the locker room to help him out, Lance Stephenson, even Rajon Rondo, re-signing Caldwell Pope, JaVale McGee. I'm going, these aren't guys that are supporting cast members of LeBron or anybody else. So I'm with Nick. I'm on record as saying it several times, but I thought they would still make the playoffs, and I firmly believe if he doesn't get hurt and miss a month, a little over a month, they would have made the playoffs. I don't think they were going anywhere, but again, I think that he was fine. He knew going in that there were no expectations for year one.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people. If there were no expectations, then nobody would have been saying playoffs.
Or expectations in the playoffs is what I think would be a better way to word it.
I think his expectations were, if as long he's a hero for year one, if they just get in. that he's done his job for year one. Take a team that didn't get in without him.
So you guys aren't answering my question, though. I mean, you did, but I guess you did too. But you guys are saying if he's not injured, then they make the playoffs. So yes, he can carry a team by himself. Is that what you're saying?
I think he can carry a team by himself into the playoffs. Yes.
So you're not going to give any credence if this team ends the season having lost more games than they won since his return.
What validates carrying a team?
Getting to the playoffs.
If that's all it
is? I mean, LA was garbage last year, and then as soon as they add LeBron, they're like, playoffs. I mean, you know, you got Stephen A. Smith, Western Conference Finals. People are like, top three? Name another. I mean, the Rockets, maybe, but that's it. After the Rockets, it's the Lakers.
I'm going to answer your question, and I'm going to give you the parameters, okay?
Okay.
I think that if you say just making the playoffs would validate this season, that I think that it's not the MJ Wizards, because I think they'd have made it. But I'll say this. If they don't have a better record than they had last year without him, now you can start really being critical, because even if though he was out for a while, I would think that everyone in Los Angeles, no matter what they thought was they needed to see to validate year one of LeBron in LA, you would think that they would be a better team than they were the year previous, and they're not on that pace. So to your point, and again, people are going to throw the injury card into it,
mm-hmm.
but if they can't even get to the record they had a year ago when they didn't have him, maybe you have some.
So they won 42% of their games last year.
Mm-hmm.
They're winning 46.
Well, he better hang on, because the way they're losing, he ain't going to be winning 46 for long.
That's what I'm saying. They're 30-34. Hold on. I'll tell you what their record was last year. Their record last year was 35-47.
Yep. So
it's going to be close.
Yeah.
So then materially, how big of an impact did he really have? Because not only should they be better because of LeBron, but they should be better with Chandler and JaVale McGee and Stevenson. And Kyle Kuzma's got another year under his belt.
You start talking about the young guys, I would give you that. I don't think anybody's getting better with JaVale McGee and Lance Stevenson. I think
from a depth perspective, that's a deeper team now than it was last year.
From a court intelligence perspective, to win games, I mean, that could be a hindrance more than it could be a help.
I'm not suggesting that their SATs went up.
I understand, but when you need to win games down the stretch, you're going to need some intelligence on the court. Rondo does at least help in that regard, because he's like a coach on the floor. But I see what you're saying. I mean, when you look at all of it, to me, the bigger thing is he also changed the culture, because of the fact that as much money as the Lakers had, they couldn't get free agents to go there.
Yeah.
Now at least people want to go, or do they want to play with LeBron?
We'll pick it up on the other side. We can discuss this some more, because I like the debate. I'm starting to embrace my role of being a LeBron hater. But what I don't hate is getting money back. I love getting cash back in my pocket. And if you love money, if you love getting cash back, then you're going to love this new app called Get Upside. Totally free app to download in the App Store on your phone, whether it's iTunes or Google Play. Download Get Upside, put in promo code Barry, and start getting cash back on stuff you're already paying for, like gas and food. There are over 500 gas stations in the Houston area that you can use the Get Upside app and get up to 25 cents cash back per gallon in your pocket. When my wife downloaded the app the first time, she put in promo code Barry. She got 30 cents a gallon back on her first purchase of gas. Why would you leave money at the tank? If someone offered you $5 while you're filling up, you're taking it. So download the app while you're sitting at the pump. Find one around you and start getting cash back. Same thing on food. You can go to these restaurants like Wendy's and Popeye's and Cyclone and Aya's and Burger King and get up to 35% cash back in your pocket at hundreds of restaurants around the city. I told you Chris Householder in his first two uses already got $10 cash back. I had another listener tweet me yesterday and showed me their balance, $80. Why would you leave $80 on the table? Download Get Upside, put in promo code Barry, start getting cash back, because these businesses want you to come and spend your money there. So they're inside of Get Upside, but you're only going to get that cash back through the app. It's completely free to download. It's super easy to set up. Just make your purchase with a debit or credit card, upload your receipt, and you are done. It's called Get Upside. Guys, again, make sure you use promo code Barry, because you're passing up free money on that first fill up through the app. Get Upside, promo code Barry, get cash back. Thank me later.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.